Secretary Robert Gates takes a big, fat swing at the White House. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. A little bit warmer out there, isn't it? Not everybody across America is freezing, although it is still chilly, so I don't want to get too excited. We have extreme weather, only it's not quite as bad for everybody. We're talking like 180 million people. It's not quite as bad as it was at the start of the week, and some flights are moving, and we'll see as we get through another week. It is going to be like a roller coaster, I think, the entire winter. Up and down, up and down. It's like 4 G's. Just be prepared. Be prepared. That's the best advice I can give for you. We've got an awesome guest coming up on our next show, Dr. Be Prepared, and he's going to tell you what you need to do. So whether it's ice, snowdrifts, pure on feats of snow that you can't conquer, it's a foot. Oh, it's a foot again, and it's another foot. The measuring stick, we're all fascinated by that. Where in the United States will we see the most snow? Now, that would be something to try to nail. We should do a nail the score on that. Inches, who wins? Whose pile is bigger? And speaking of that, nail the score is coming up on our next show as well. In our third hour, last two segments, randomly, our computer will pick the game of the week in the playoffs. Once we've established that, you call in, tell us who you think's going to win and what the final score is going to be. Well, speaking of keeping score, I think that's what the Gates situation is about, and that's what the Chris Christie situation is about. And I think the Chris Christie situation sounds a little convoluted to some people. The gist of it is you've got a Fort Lee mayor who's upset because of some emails that surfaced. And he's going out and speaking about Chris Christie and calling him all kinds of things because of a logjam that happened on a bridge between New Jersey and New York. And when we say a logjam, we're not talking about it's backed up. We're talking about 4 hours on a bridge. You want to feel crazy, be in a car 4 hours. That's like being in a movie set and they're filming a scene. Remember like the last Batman where they were stuck on the bridge? That would be like filming a scene. It's not real. It's not reality. Yes, you can have traffic, but that's ridiculous because of these lane closures. So it goes back to these emails now that have all of a sudden come out that are tying his administration to this question of the bridge. And there was a woman who was on the bridge who was unconscious, who it took longer for the ambulance to get to her, and then she eventually died. I mean, and this crippled a place called Fort Lee. And that mayor, Sokolich, is saying he was personally attacked by the Christie people. So he believes that purposely they threw up these closures and it was retaliation. And it's politically motivated. And he says it's the lowest, most venomous form of political retaliation. So he is going after Chris Christie, who is saying he knew nothing about it, that it had nothing to do with him. And because on this show, we're talking about midterm elections come up in 2014, and the handicapping is begun in the race for president. So could a bridge tank his political aspirations? Is this an impeachable thing if he purposely closed lanes on a bridge? Well, of course. I mean, if there's emails that tie the governor to saying, let's throw up these closures, let's screw up Fort Lee, because I don't like what's happening with the mayor there. He's not backing me up. If you can tie that directly to Christie, well, that's one thing. But the aide who supposedly is responsible for this, because Chris Christie is saying, I was misled. The aide is saying, is denying it. So that's not a good sign. When everybody's denying that what the emails are phony, or the how do the emails tie Chris Christie to it, this exchange? And the emails supposedly show Chris Christie, a Chris Christie staff member and an appointee, talking about the bridge lanes being shut down as punishment for Sokolich, the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey, not supporting the governor of New Jersey. So that's low, 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 low. And if they can tie it directly to him, and the aide gives him up, then that's it for Chris Christie going any further. And he's denying that, one, that his staff was involved in creating the chaos, and saying that he just learned of the emails on Wednesday. And the only thing he would say is, what I've seen for the first time is that this is unacceptable. I'm outraged, deeply saddened, that not only was I misled by a member of my staff, but this is completely inappropriate and unsanctioned conduct that was made without my knowledge. He said that people are going to be held responsible for their actions. He canceled his only appearance on Wednesday. So, I mean, who knows? The messages talk about this appointee who was eager to get in on what they're calling vehicular vengeance. You know, it's only in Jersey, right? Chris Christie, have I got a deal for you? But in all seriousness, this could tank his chances of coming in for the nod for president in 2016. So that's that for Chris Christie. We move on from New Jersey and tell you about the other buzz in the land, and it's over Gates and his book. And in the book, he goes after the Obama administration pretty hard. Now, remember, Gates, as the defense secretary, worked under two presidents, Obama and Bush before him. And what one of the things he said is that he fantasized about quitting his job. He said that frequently, sitting at the witness table, the exit lines were on the tip of his tongue. He said he was the Secretary of Defense, but he was an American citizen, and there was no son of a bee in the world who could talk to me like that. And he quit. Find somebody else. Ooh. He did not like, obviously, working for the last administration. Oh, there's more. There's more. We're talking about some of that and mixing in a few other things as well here on Odds and Ends next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
On the George Washington Bridge. Was it unsanctioned? Was it unacceptable? The New Jersey governor, you've got some explaining to do. And it gets worse. The EMS responders that I briefly mentioned involved, one incident involved a 90-year-old woman who was unconscious, as I said, and by the time they responded to the medical emergency, she ended up, in the end, dying because of the major gridlock. And there were, by the way, four medical problems that all were part of this giant shutdown on the bridge. So I think that it's not going to go away that easy. They're calling it thuggy politics. What do you think? Much ado about nothing? I mean, seriously, it is. There is something to this. You can't say it's no big deal because, one, a woman died, and they couldn't respond and get to the people on the bridge. You can't have a bridge shut down for 4 hours and no explanation when all of a sudden these emails surface. And now you've got this fighting with the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey, who apparently wasn't on board with Chris Christie. So did they go after this mayor? What is the real scoop here? And even the big newspaper of record in that area, the Star Ledger, one of the columnists is saying, hey, Christie could be impeached over this. So this is a serious deal for him. Dan is listening to us in Cross Plains, Texas. That's a great thing about Texas. We don't have any big bridge spans in the Lone Star State to get jammed up on. We just get jammed up on the roadways.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Do you know why they banned the zipper in Montana?
Why did they ban the zipper in Montana?
When the sheep hear it come down, they stampede.
And maybe you and I are the only one who get the ones who get that joke, by the way.
Well, that's because we are, shall we say, intellectually more proficient than the rest of the audience.
There you go.
Yes. Okay, you cannot possibly believe that Krispy Kreme would have political ambitions to do payback to a poor little Democrat and cause that kind of havoc to you. I mean, my goodness, that would be impeachable.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the big word, impeachable.
Well,
now, let me tell you.
Maybe he's just taking a playbook from the president. I mean, the president says he didn't know about Benghazi. He didn't know about the IRS. He didn't know about Fast and Furious. You know, I'm believing the president doesn't know much about anything, and Krispy Kreme just following his example. I mean, he's got plausible deniability. I mean, the president didn't know about none of that stuff, so how could Krispy Kreme, the New Jersey doughboy, know any different?
That's right. When in doubt, deny, deny, deny.
Absolutely,
plausible
absolutely.
Deniability. Yes, absolutely. I have no idea.
My vote for the most snow is Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, for the whole season, you say Buffalo, and you're probably going to be right about that because Buffalo gets a crazy amount of snow.
Well, I get lucky once in a while.
So we'll see. Maybe you will nail the snowplow.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Listen, you have a good night, baby.
All right. Don't forget about our Nail the Score contest, and that's coming up in our next show in the third hour. It's fun. It's exciting because we've got playoffs, and all of you wanted it, so I gave it. I gave it to you. There was so much of an uproar from the listeners about Nail the Score that I decided we're just going to do it. We are going to do it no matter what. We're going to make it happen. And it's going to be interesting because in a couple of weeks, I'm going to Hawaii. So we got my pal George coming in to step in for me for a couple of shows, and I'm also doing a couple of shows. So we've got Nail the Score that will carry on, and then the show is going to go for a couple of days to Grenada. We're doing a special from Grenada, so we're going to try to still make all of that happen before the Super Bowl. Yep. And we don't have to throw up any obstacles, by the way. Because you've asked for this information, let me explain it to you. The George Washington Bridge, so you know, connects North Jersey to New York City, and it's one of the busiest bridges, one of the biggest spans in the United States. That's why it's significant. New York City is our biggest city, and a lot of people commute from New Jersey, so you got about 300,000 or so cars, SUVs, trucks, whatever, typically, on a typical day. So now, you think of being stuck for 4 hours and what that means, and if it was an on-purpose thing, that's the deal. So if you had these traffic jams for thousands of commuters there, and now there's these accusations that this was on purpose as retribution for the Democratic mayor of that city, Sokolich, then you understand why it's a big deal. And let me explain it just one step further. So why would Christie want to gig him? Why would he want to Tanya Harding Sokolich? Because he didn't support Christie's reelection bid, and that was big since he wanted to get those votes in that area. And if you look at the gubernatorial primary, and you think of how many votes we're talking about, the margin of victory was what they were, you could tie it to and say, well, was that what they were concerned about? So then they're gigging him for that. Because it seems crazy. You think, well, why would Chris Christie, who was popular, even if the guy wasn't supporting him, why would that be such a big deal? 22 points, big deal. 22 points is how far ahead Chris Christie was in the polls. So this would be stupid. If he really did throw up this block on this one of our biggest bridges, then it was a stupid thing. Because what's the political advantage in that? Was he just so paranoid that he didn't realize he had enough people in New Jersey voting for him? You know, it comes down to election night. Your head is swelled with the ideas of what's next in your career, and you got to win and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so did he bring this down purposely on the mayor? And, of course, the mayor being a Democrat, you know what it sets it up for, so there's no question about it. And there are other people that say this is the problem with Chris Christie. This is something that he could get tapped for. And remember, he was a U.S. attorney. He went after bad politicians. So when you go after bad politicians, and then if they can tie that to him, and he was, again, it would be such a stupid thing, but if they can tie it to him and not the aide, then that's that. And impeachable, it could be an impeachable thing, but it certainly would lead to sour feelings in New Jersey over Christie, and then, you know, his 15 minutes would be over, the Time magazine deal, the interviews with Oprah Winfrey, the call from Henry Kissinger inquiring about running for president, the seduction by the Republican Party going to the huge Reagan ceremony, a huge dinner at the Reagan Library, where even Nancy Reagan was in attendance. So there were a lot of people that were warming up to Chris Christie, and so this could have some pretty big implications on the Republican Party, on who's on the bench and what happens to him and blah, 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 blah. Coming up in our next segment here on America Tonight, 50 years after LBJ announced the war on poverty, are we better off? Derek Green from Project 21 takes a hard look at that question as to how have things changed in America? Have we tackled the problem of poverty? Are we winning on any fronts when it comes to people who are classified as poverty-stricken in the United States? He's awesome. Stay with us. You'll love this conversation next on ATN.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
20 years of truly dangerous broadcasting. Mancow. Now heard here.
Check it out.
GCN.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
I can't relax my mind. I just can't find the time. I dream blind. There is a wall of poverty out in the street. Can't enjoy the luxury of finding time to sleep. Get to keep on hustling on the front. Night and day I'm always on the hunt. Working myself just like a mule. Believe me.
Would you believe that it's been 50 years? It's the 50th anniversary of the War on Poverty. Remember this? Think back to President Lyndon Baines Johnson's 1964 campaign and talking about poverty and putting the kibosh on poverty and waging, as he said, waging the war on poverty. And the administration today, the Obama administration, is trying to say that if we hadn't declared unconditional war on poverty in America, millions more Americans would still be living in poverty today. And of course, there are others who take a different look at what that mission was and what the misses were. And I'm one of those people, and we're going to talk about that throughout the show tonight here on America Tonight. And I want to know what you think, too. 855-266-5283. Do you think the war on poverty was successful? Are we winning the war on poverty? Joining us now, he's in our virtual green room. He has the perfect name for that, too, by the way. Derek Green from Project 21. And, Derek, if we take you back to what LBJ was saying and that whole idea of the war on poverty, do you think we're, first of all, do you think we're winning the war on poverty now?
No, I don't. I think that with the number of Americans that are still or that are currently living in poverty, I can't see by what, you know, statistic that we would judge ourselves by saying that we won this war on poverty. We still have over 50 million Americans living in poverty. I think that the effects of some of these big government programs that were implemented 50 years ago today through pockets of America and then as judging by America as a whole, I definitely think that these policies contributed to increasing poverty or at least maintaining poverty. Now, that's not to say that the programs haven't helped anyone along the way. Of course, that they have. But overall, if we're going to judge the programs and the policies overall, I think that it's been a tremendous waste of money. And I think, as I said before, I think that we've done more to perpetuate poverty than to eradicate it.
Yeah, and when you say we've done more to perpetuate poverty, what would you say specifically are some of the things that just don't work?
Well, I think that, you know, whether a person wants to look at the policy like this or not, I think that subsidizing women to have children destroys the family. I think that, you know, and no, you know, better picture can be seen than the black community. We've seen that black illegitimacy has, you know, quadrupled since the Great Society programs were implemented. And again, America as a whole, right now for black Americans, 73% of all black children are born out of wedlock. For America, it's over 40%. So as a country, we haven't done well, but specifically for the black community, we haven't done well either. Also, what that has done is that it has made the black man as a husband and a father completely irrelevant, because if the woman can have children and the government can continue to take care of her, then you've automatically, you know, made the black man disposable. And I think morally, I think that that's wrong, but socioeconomically, we've seen the effects of that over the last 50 years. We've seen, you know, a drastic increase in black incarceration rates, drastic increase in juvenile delinquency and high school dropouts and the lack of consistent employment. So all of these things have negating factors that, you know, once you add them all up, you say the intentions might have been there, but we have to judge these policies by their results, and I think the results have been found wanting.
Yeah, you know, there's some people that would listen to you, and they'll listen to other members that are tremendous that we've had on from Project 21 and say, wow, do you hear Derek? He's dissing on people in the community. I don't understand it. How can he do that? Do you ever get any flack for that?
You know, I do. It's not as much now as it was before, but I still get it. And the one thing that I tell people when whether it's in, you know, the social media atmosphere or just in the coffee shop when I'm doing my work, is that I'm not coming down on black people, but I'm not going to excuse black people for contributing to their own self-destruction. You know, I would like to treat blacks as individuals and as adults. I'm not going to infantilize blacks, but I'm also, you know, would like to say to these people, that being said, you know, these policies have also contributed to the decline, so it's not, you know, a panacea of by any stretch. But we have to at least look at the factors honestly and say, listen, it's not that I'm, you know, condemning black people, but at the same time, we have to be as responsible for our actions as we can, and then kind of go from there. So, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still there.
So, and good for you too. Obviously, you're real, and that's the deal. You're being yourself, and wouldn't it be great if we could solve the riddle of some of the problems that you're talking about? It's like the welfare programs. Wouldn't it be great if they were there, kind of as a fail-safe for a family that really needs it, but then they're able to get back to what they can do in working and whatnot. A lot of people feel that the welfare programs just simply flat out foster disincentives, that why would we have two parent homes, and why would we, as you were saying, why bother to go down that road when you can rely on government assistance? And you know, other people will argue, Derek, and say, oh, that's, you're being racist and that's nonsense and that's not true. But do you think, if we were to put a number on it, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, where do you think we are on that scale of people just riding the train because they don't have an incentive to get off of that, and they're trapped, they keep staying in the same cycle?
You know, I would probably say a 5 or a 6, and I used to think that it was lower, but I would say 5 and 6, and I say that because we in our power, we will never be able to fully eradicate those people who want to have a free lunch. So that being said, what we have to do is those people who truly and genuinely need, you know, government subsistence, to help them out with that, but then to give them the tools and point them in the right direction in which they can get into work, re-experience the dignity of work, to being self-sufficient, and to get them off of welfare as quickly as possible. But you know, again, there's just a lot of people who want a free ride. They want to be subsidized. They want to be taken care of. And if you take that in combination with there is a certain segment in the black community that feels that they're owed because of prior discrimination, you know, racism and things of that nature. Now, whether they've experienced it or not is a different story, but they're fed a consistent diet of the reason you can't get out of poverty is because white racism is the prevalent barrier that's preventing your socioeconomic success. They believe this, and then they vote people into office that gives them benefits as some sort of salve because of their victimization. So I think there's a number of things that go into it, and I think that that's where, if we're ever going to change this particular pattern, we have to go into the root, you know, kind of give them something that counters the victimization narrative, and then that counters them being paid to be a victim.
Yeah, what do you think that is? Programs where you have incentive for working or rebuilding the family? I mean, how do you tackle that? How do you turn that around? Because it's hard to completely turn, as you said, it's hard to completely turn that all the way around.
It is, and I think there's a number of things. I think one of the things that we need to do is to advance policies that support and encourage marriage. I think that we also need to, and this is where it gets a bit dicey, but, you know, have politicians, you know, outwardly support the social institutions that are closest to these individuals. You know, in America, it used to be the church. It used to be these civic organizations that men used to go to and hang out with men, women used to go to and things of that nature, and the church. And I think that specifically out of those organizations, the church has lost its influence to government, by the way. And I think that we need to get back into a religious aspect of, you know, the dignity of marriage. You know, why should we get married? What are the benefits of marriage intrinsically? But then what are the benefits of marriage and having children in the bounds of marriage, not just morally, but, again, socioeconomically? So I think that there needs to be policies that advocate and encourage marriage. And I think that these need to be policies that kind of disincentivize this the easiness of which to get a divorce. You know, I think that with these no-fault divorce policies that we have, people kind of go into it thinking that if I don't like it, I can, you know, I can change a spouse like I can change shoes. You know, so I think that we need to kind of go through and kind of start from the bottom and at the top, bottom being the church and the organizations closest to the people, at the top advocating for policies that encourage a lot more of a stable social structure, especially in black America, because at 73% of having black children born out of wedlock, the high rates of abortion, and then you have the high rates of you know, high school dropouts and things of that nature, that's an epidemic. That's an epidemic, and I just personally am tired of poor blacks being used as political pawns and fronts for policies that don't benefit them.
Yeah. Boy, amen. That's so well said. What a perfect time to say it, too, on this 50th anniversary of a very, very much failed policy. Derek Green, as always, thanks. Hey, if somebody wants to read your stuff, where can they go? Project 21, right?
Yes, project21.org, and they can also go to derekgreen.net, and it's spelled D-E-R-R-Y-C-K, greenlikethecolor.net.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mondays I swear drinking to the shells of some kids. There's this whispering of jokers doing flesh by the pound to a chorus of supposes from the little town hall.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter
how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
You is one that can be heard all over Colorado. Hey, hey, we're making that final turn around this hour of ATN, and I see nothing but smoke. And so do the people in Colorado. So 37 stores have been licensed to sell recreational pot to anyone 21 or over. They started New Year's Day. Long lines at the Denver pot shops. People waited 3 to 5 hours to go inside, step up to the counter, and legally purchase some pot. Prices have gone up. Stores were charging $50 or $75 for 1/8 of an ounce of pot. That cost medical marijuana users, you ready for this, $25 the day before. Because you got taxes, you add on another 20% or so, and you get my drift. There were two pot shops in Pueblo. They sold $87,000 worth of marijuana on January 1st. And they say, if this continues, I mean, they're running out of pot already. They're saying if it continues, if the demand continues, they're going to be sold out in the very near future. That's what they're saying in Denver. They know it. They know it's imminent. Just a couple days into it, there's a mad rush. Some stores had to close early because they didn't have enough cannabis on hand to fulfill the customer's needs. So what does this say? And we've talked about this on the show a bunch. We looked at it from different angles. And the reason that it's important to have the conversation, or the reason we're having the conversation, is because how much money could some of these municipalities make with the taxes they slap onto pot? And you've got some of these legal pot shops that already have $400 for an ounce. That's what they're charging with the taxes and everything else. I don't know. People might get tired of the taxes. They might get tired of it. They might want to still go the bootleg way. I guess. I'm not sure. But I wonder how many people think it's a good idea and don't care if pot is legalized in your neighborhood, would you care? Or would that just freak you out? Would you just be like, wow, am I in a Cheech and Chong movie? Is this legal? Are you kidding me? And you should see these marijuana warehouses. It's crazy. It's crazy to see them, the booming sales. So people want to smoke pot. Alaska might become the next state to legalize marijuana. Could be on the ballot in August. And it's looking like that's not so much of a leap. They've got the signatures they need. They had more than they needed. And they feel pretty good about regulating marijuana like alcohol. They think this is the next state. How many other states will fall? And it's that argument, is marijuana safer than alcohol? What happens when you're driving and you're stoned on pot versus trashed on alcohol? It's a mad, mad world. That's all I can say. I mean, really, I don't think that you can completely claim, for anyone who's a pot smoker out there, that you're not altered when you smoke pot and you're behind the wheel. I mean, all kidding aside, you're altered, just like you are if you're drinking. And they're pushing this. California, Arizona, let's see what happens. What will be really interesting is if there are more advocates that come out for it and there's a push, the press, to legalize pot, what are their politicians going to say? Are they going to go, the most liberal Democrat, sure, that's a layup to say, well, it's a new... increased revenue source and blah, blah, blah. But then you've got all the people who are in the rehab facilities and who see what happens with meth, who would challenge that and say and tell you that, okay, but this is a slippery slope. And so there would be pushback. So the politicians who try to play all the angles, because they want, they want to say the right thing to get the votes to keep being reelected. What's the right answer? And it's going to be different in every part of the United States as to whether there is a tolerance for the sale of marijuana and people smoking marijuana like it's no big deal. I mean, it's a legal thing. If it's legalized, like in Colorado, and to each his own, or is there going to be a lot of people who get their back up? And I'm going to say there's going to be some people that they're going to get their back up, and they're not going to like it, and there's going to be a big fight here. This is the next frontier, or I guess we're already in it. And we see what happens with the meth problems. It's scary. Because you talk to, and some of you are cops listening to this show. In fact, if you're a police officer, you're listening, you know what I'm talking about, call us. 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. You know what happens when you have people that are crazed on meth and the cheap meth they're trying to produce. And, I mean, for goodness sake, you have to have a doctor's note now to get cough serum. It's ridiculous because of how people are making meth. And then what happens as it becomes a necessity, what the lengths are that somebody's willing to go to get the money that they need to pay for the drugs, which a lot of times, this is what I'm saying, cops will tell you, is what has happened when someone's breaking into someone's house and someone's robbing someone. They're, you know, they're out of their minds on meth, and they're trying to get more. They're trying to satisfy the urge, and they need the money. So that's scary. But is there a relationship there? Is there that gateway thing or not? Or does this actually help law enforcement, because now all those people that lined up in Colorado, you don't have to bust them for some dime bag in their back pocket or some crazy thing like that. And D.C. is talking about it. D.C. is actually talking about pot laws, allowing 6 plants per household. So you have Alaska on the doorstep of legalization. You have D.C. talking about plants, the amount of plants that you can actually grow. So this is getting serious. All right, let's go to Ray, who's listening to us in Emporia KS in Kansas, KVOE 1400. Hey, Ray, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, first of all, I'm against the legalization of it, and I think that all these states that have made it legal now, everybody that they've got in a jail or prison that has got caught just for the smoking of the marijuana, they ought to release them now, because it's, to me, it's wrong to hold them in jail because they smoked some marijuana and got caught with it when they're going to legalize it now.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Some of those cases, that's a good point. Could they overturn those cases or get
yeah.
their sentences reduced?
They should be able to do that.
Nothing
wrong now.
Yeah. Yeah, if they legalize it in your neck of the woods, you're right, then that's exactly what can happen. And probably there's a push for that in Colorado.
Yeah.
Do you think, Ray, in Kansas they'll legalize it?
I hope not.
Yeah, I think in Kansas they're not going to do that. I would say Kansas would be one of the holdout spots, just like Texas, thanks for the call, Louisiana, a few other states that I would point to. But you never know. If they get enough signatures, then it gets on the ballot, then there's a vote, then it's up to the people. And I think you might be surprised at how many dominoes are going to start to fall. It's definitely going to be a big part of the conversation. Any thoughts on the show, you can send them to me, americatonight.net.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system, and a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains 3 groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.